WildTalkRadio.com.
Alright, it's been a long time since I've done this, but here we go. Welcome to Monday Night Raw. Are you ready?
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
Monday Night Raw, it's here.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
He's here, isn't he?
He's everywhere. And I can hear him now. Let him in.
And Lindsay Ward.
Yeah, well, I'm here to make something perfectly clear. The Queen is dead. And for the first time ever in Monday Night Raw history, I can rightfully say, long live the one, the only goddess of WWE.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Monday Night Raw.
Show presented by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. I'm Saraga, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
So just in case you're listening to this on the VOD or the podcast, and you weren't here for the sound check pre-show, whatever you want to call it, we had a question about what happened on the show. Did Bray and Alexa do tantric ghost sex? To which the question was, what is ghost sex actually called? For the clarification, it is spectrophilia. Thank you, Brent, very much. We appreciate you Googling that. So, we'll talk about it later, but tantric spectrophilia, just remember that for later.
It'll be on the quiz at the end of the show. And Brent's going to grade your papers. Anyway, we're here to talk about Monday Night Raw, and what an interesting show we had tonight as we're 2 weeks away from the Royal Rumble. You had Charlotte Flair taking on Peyton Royce on the show, and you had, during the match, Lacey Evans come out in Ric Flair's robe. Woo!
Okay. I have feelings about this storyline, and they're not in a good sense. Number one, again, why did Ric Flair betray Charlotte, his own flesh and blood, the woman that's probably paying his bills at this point, for Lacey Evans, right? Number two, Lacey Evans is married. We all know she's married. She's married with children. Like, can we stop putting people that we know are married into storylines where they're, like, cheating or they're banging somebody else? Like, I understand it's WWE, but it's goddamn 2021 and everybody pretty much has a fucking Instagram. So, like, we all see them with their spouses. We all can suspend that. We can't necessarily suspend that disbelief that, yes, it is perfectly okay. Lacey Evans, mother of two, I believe, with a husband that is, like, you know, going to cuck her husband on national television with Ric Flair.
Okay, so, mother one. Two, it's weird because actors and actresses do the same thing where they IG with the real life folk and then the character is different. But in WWE land, character and real person intertwine on the regular. That's the only difference.
Yeah, I mean, when you're watching like a TV show, like, I'm trying to think of any fiction TV show that I watch. Okay, just for instance, because I've been doing nothing but binge it. Bridgerton, which, by the way, if you have not seen it and you need really good trashy romance, go watch that. It is worth it. You're worth your time. Wholeheartedly. Don't have the kids in the room after episode 5. Anyway, the actors and actresses that are in the show, they're not necessarily dating. They're not necessarily together. They're not married. And yes, in that instance, because it is a fictional show, where we can suspend the disbelief to enough that they are all playing quote-unquote characters. Like, you know, we all know that the guy that plays the Duke and the girl that plays his future wife, spoilers, they're not necessarily really dating, although there's rumors that they are. But it's like that kind of stuff, right? And we see that where they're, like you said, they're with their spouses. But my point is, it's like Angel Garza. We saw him get engaged on NXT TV. Mm-hmm. We watched that. We know he's engaged. And then it got followed up with he got married. Lacey Evans posts on the regular with her family about her family on her Instagram account. So we see that. Like, even goddamn The Undertaker is out there posting pictures with Michelle McCool. He's talking about his wife. Like, they finally let that go in storyline that he's married to her. After 10 years of marriage, they finally put that out there that they're actually married. So I just feel like, especially, like, I understand for WWE land that they're trying to tell a story, but this just to me seems really tasteless and tactless with somebody that we very clearly know and understand is married. And I believe Ric Flair is as well, isn't
he?
And he talks about his wife on the regular. So, and I mean, granted, and this is going to sound terribly wrong, but it's Ric Flair. We all know he's a hoe, so we take it with a grain of salt. But with, like, her, I don't like it when they do this, and I wish they wouldn't do this, because I think you brought it up to me, or somebody else brought it up to me, that it feels like the Dawn Marie Tori Wilson storyline from, like, way the hell back in the day, like, 2008, 2009? Or is it,
no,
like, Dawn...
2004, 2000... Yeah, I think it was, like, 2004.
Oh, was it 2004?
Yeah.
Time has no meaning. Anyway, where Dawn Marie bangs Al Wilson, who is Tori Wilson's dad, and then they have a whole big fake wedding, and, like, Tori gets Al to disown his daughter. Like, that's what this kind of feels like. And it wasn't, like, for the time... It was okay. Like, you had that disbelief, but it's like, it's still kind of trashy and still kind of tasteless. Now, it makes it that much worse because it's Charlotte and Rick. It's like, really? Really? You sold your daughter out? And this, I don't mean this to sound mean, but you sold your daughter out for Lacey Evans? And not even Lacey Evans, you sold her out because you want to fuck her? Because that's what the implication is. Is they're not playing, you know, hopscotch and drinking milkshakes, folks. Like, there's some Space Mountain shit going on here. So, can we just not with this? Like, can we just not? Like, hey, I want to get at you, so I'm going to bang your dad. Like, that's what this is boiling down to. And I'm going to get your dad to portray you because my hoo-ha is that good. And I'm that good with it that I can give him the business.
Three syllables. Business.
Business. With my hoo-ha, that he's going to stab you in the back for me.
Clearly.
Clearly. Like, she got all up in that business real quick, too. So, like, that's what this is boiling down to, and that's what they're reducing this to. And it does nothing for Lacey Evans. Makes Lacey Evans look so trashy. Like, I'm sorry. It does. Her whole thing is, I'm prim and proper and I'm a lady, but I'll fuck your dad when you're not looking. That's what that says. That's that message that says.
That's a classy Southern lady.
That's a classy Southern lady. That's not what we do, by the way. Just so everybody's aware. Because I am a Southern lady. We do not fuck people's fathers whenever we can. Because it gets weird.
Because it gets weird.
There's a whole Alabama, West Virginia joke in there somewhere that I'm not gonna tell, but it's there. But anyway, yeah, I think the long story is I don't like this storyline. I don't care for it. I think there's a million other ways that you could tell this story without Ric Flair getting banged being involved.
But hey, Ric Flair's back on TV. Woo! Also, Charlotte got her win back over Peyton Royce.
Also, I swear to God, Charlotte did something to her face.
She lost weight.
No, it's more than that. She either got fillers or she got something done to her nose. I'm not sure what, but she did something to her face.
Yeah.
It's going to be like Natty.
Moving on.
No, Natty was like, what did she do to her face? Because her face, like, looks weird. And it kept looking weird and weird and weird. And then you finally figured it out that she was getting fillers because she got way too many fillers. No offense. And there's just a weird situation going on now. So I think Charlotte, hopefully she's not the same way in the sense that she just gets way too many fillers put in, but she did something to her face because her face is very different.
We good now?
Yeah, I'm good. We can go on.
Because you're gonna go off about this next thing. Mace defeated Xavier Woods.
I mean, I'm sorry, before I go off about this, do you have any feelings about the first
thing? No, we're good.
Okay. I just feel like I just took over.
Go. Mason Wilkes, everyone, go.
Okay, number one, Mustafa Ali is apparently a very fickle person because he was in love with Ricochet, and then Ricochet, I guess, got away. I don't know. They just dropped that altogether.
Where he wasn't accepting his love.
He wasn't accepting his love, and so Mustafa moved on.
To Kofi,
and then they broke Kofi's face, and so Kofi had to go away, and now they're going after Xavier Woods. Which, a rebellious outsider faction with cult-like beliefs and a very charismatic, handsome leader in love with Xavier Woods, who may or may not be trying to seduce Xavier. I'm not sure. Where have I seen this before? This feels so familiar to me. Where could I possibly have seen this before? Four. Right. Bray Wyatt did this. Bray Wyatt tried to, like, lure Xavier away from his family and give him the business, because we all know Bray likes to hoe around.
Yes.
What? I'm sorry. No, he does. The man acts like a slut sometimes.
I said yes. What do you want from me?
Anyway, so I guess Mustafa, and I don't have a problem with this, like, at all. By the way, I love that Bray acts like a slut. That's what drives one person away when they're listening to this. Anyway, turning that off now. Anyway, so, like, there's nothing wrong with Mustafa doing the same thing. I was, like, sitting there, and I was like, wow, this seems really familiar. Xavier Woods, he just has that, you know, appeal to him, I guess?
I guess so.
I don't know. Like, the match itself was good. It was Xavier versus Mace in a one-on-one match. And, well, the numbers overwhelmed Xavier because he was by himself. And Mace picked up the victory. Xavier had his taunts and everything. But in the end, Retribution proved victorious.
I need to throw something in about that really quick. It feels like this is the first time in a while New Day doesn't feel like an attraction because it's only Woods and he's been beaten down twice in a row. Usually when New Day loses a match, they get a win back. This is the first time someone has gotten them back to back, which is good.
Which is good. And I think when Kofi kind of comes back, they'll
get their wins back. But it was just something that stood out to me on that.
It's interesting, yeah, unless they're not going to bring Kofi back with Xavier, and they're putting Xavier on his own, and, like, basically he just keeps getting beat down and beat down and beat down, and then he kind of looks at Kofi when Kofi comes back, and he's like, well, where the hell were you? Which is not a valuable question, because it's like, we all know where Kofi is. He's at home nursing his jaw. So...
Thanks, Cedric.
So, it could be that maybe they have Woods turn because he's by himself, like, he's not with him, Kofi's not with him, and in the Bray Wyatt storyline, they were the ones who saved Xavier from the Wyatt family. They stopped him from getting pulled in and crossed over into the family. They freed him of Bray's influence. They're not here in this case. So could Mustafa Ali maybe lure Xavier Woods into retribution?
We'll have to see.
He obviously wants to adopt somebody.
We'll have to see. Shayna Baszler beat Mandy Rose. Nia and Shayna had some arguments back because, you know, Shayna's in the Rumble too. And yep.
Basically, Shayna said she doesn't care who she has to be to win the Rumble, whether it's, you know, this person, or my tag team partner. I'm going to win the Rumble, and Nia took exception to that. So they're teasing more tension between the two in the Rumble. Potentially for one to eliminate the other. It's the most that they've done with them in quite a while.
It is. Charlotte retorted about everything that happened earlier in the night, including saying, you can wear my father's robe, but she'll never wear her crown. Woo!
Okay.
Adam Pearce gave Ricochet an opportunity to get into the Royal Rumble match. He has to earn his opportunity, and the way to do it is to beat the phenomenal AJ Styles.
Why can some people declare and other people have to, like, earn their spots?
You see, when it comes to the women, they need all the people they can, so they're just going to declare. When it comes to the men, you have to earn it, because, you know, some people who...
No! No, like, Randy Orton didn't have to earn it. He just goddamn declared he was in the Rumble.
He's a former multi-time champion.
Okay.
I think you have to have a championship pedigree in WWE to just automatically declare.
That's wrong. Like, anybody should be able to declare that they want to be in the Rumble. You shouldn't have to have titles. This isn't like an aristocracy thing.
Well, maybe
it is.
Are
we that bougie now?
We may be that bougie. AJ got the win. Awesome finish. Caught him and dropped him in with the Styles Clash. Awesome.
Honestly, I wouldn't mind seeing another match between the two just because this was so good. And you wouldn't expect anything less from AJ and Ricochet. Like, you really, really wouldn't. But I wouldn't mind seeing this again, honestly, truthfully.
Okay, so I'm going to go through this really simple and really quick. So the dirt sheet, Ms. Morrison's guest was Goldberg. It was Gilbert. They also had a fat Drew McIntyre. Miz declared he's the Miz and he's next.
Because he still has Money in the Bank.
Yep.
It was a thing. It was good to see Gilbert.
It is a great thing to see Gilbert because 2 months ago, I believe he had a heart attack. So him up, moving, and doing well is a very good thing.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
Hurt Business defeated Riddle and the Lucha House Party.
I'm not sure what they're doing with Riddle. Like, backstage, you had the Hurt Business sort of pick on Matt Riddle a little bit, which, oh yeah, you guys are so badass. You're just a bunch of bullies.
Yeah.
Anyway, must be compensating for something. Anyway, and so you had Bobby Lashley, quote-unquote, step on Riddle's foot. He missed it by a mile. And this is kind of what led to the match. I just don't know what they're doing with Matt Riddle, and I'm not entirely sure if I like it or not. Like, it feels... And I don't know if it's that he didn't sign a new contract, and so they're just, like, jobbing him out. I don't know if he did sign a new contract, and they just have nothing for him. Like, I'm just not sure what's going on, because supposedly he resigned, and then he didn't resign, and then they just really don't know what's going on, and it's weird. It's very weird.
Yeah. So, Jeff Hardy got his win back over Jackson Ryker, and then Elias and Ryker beat down Hardy.
50-50 booking! Woo!
And no one gets over.
But Jeff Hardy laid and writhed on the mat like a pro.
Yeah. So Monday Night Raw opened with Randy Orton in a mask. Burns on his face. He said the voices have never been louder. He says his face is the damnation he received for showing compassion. He said the only thing he sees when he closes his eyes is the fireball that Alexa Bliss shot at him. He said he was wearing the mask to shield everyone from the horror that he endured. He said he feels lucky because the fireball could have disfigured his entire face forever. I don't blame her. I blame him. I blame the Fiend. And I sent him straight to hell, and he said he had no doubt that the Fiend was responsible for what happened, and that Bliss is merely the vehicle. He said the Fiend wants to stop him from the inevitable, winning the Royal Rumble, as we saw in footage. Orton said he knows that everyone in the locker room enjoyed seeing his flesh burnt because they thought it eliminated their biggest competition, but he vowed to remain in the Rumble match. And he said he enjoyed the pain and it fuels his every move. As he pulled out a book of match, he said everyone can thank the Fiend for when he burns their Royal Rumble dreams to ashes and goes on to main event WrestleMania. He lit a match, looked at it, and then blew it out. Thoughts?
This was really super good. I got a mixture of Kane, and I don't know if anybody remembers it, but one of Cody's failed gimmicks in WWE very, very early on in his career on the main roster was the grotesque gimmick, where when he started, they had him as like this pretty boy, super handsome guy who was giving like beauty tips, and then basically his nose got broken. And he did this really interesting gimmick where he walked around in like a face shield and a hood because his face was messed up. Even though his face was technically fine on the inside, he had like these mental issues, scars, problems, not really, but really, with his face. And so he thought he was disfigured. And he did a really interesting character with it, and I got such vibes from Randy of that character. It was insane. And then the whole stuff with the fire and talking about how he regrets his life choices for not setting Alexa on fire. And, you know, how he's swearing revenge against the Fiend was, like, so classic Kane.
It was, and even the Figurement stuff had the Kane vibes when he lost his mask.
Yeah, like, there was some really good stuff that happened in this. What I love about it is you had Randy kind of wrapped in darkness. He's in a very dark room except for the TV that he's watching all these clips of the past on. And he's got a hood on and his face has like a burn mask on it where his eyes and his nose and his mouth are exposed, but the rest of his face is covered. And on his nose, I'm not sure if he actually has first degree burns or not, but they made him up to look like he has burns at the very least. On his face where the fireball would have hit. Mm-hmm. And that was just really cool how they did that. And they framed all of it for him to kind of go into this more darker place where he's going into this really deep part of his soul that's just evil.
And for the record, he was at the interview set because you saw the white robes behind him.
Yeah. But it was still it was still really good how they did it. I would say, just on a personal note, and I tweeted this out on Twitter, that I don't think Bray screwing Randy out of the Rumble is a fair trade for, you know, Randy murdering Bray. But here we are. Something tells me this is going to be a little bit deeper than that, Randy. Just a smidge.
Just a little bit. So we had Alexa Bliss's playground. Her guest was Asuka. She came, Bliss is on her set with grass because it's happy-go-lucky. She said she wanted to address the viper in the room. She said she was coming out to talk to Randy, but the things got a little heated. Or she said that in order to give him some good advice on sunblock, she brought out Asuka. Asuka was going to sit on the swing, but that's not her seat. Asuka was like, all right, I'll stand here. But Alexa announced that she's in the Royal Rumble. And if she wins the Rumble, then they can fight for the title of WrestleMania. Asuka's like, I'm a big fan. It would be an honor. Yowie wowie. And Alexa did not like that.
No.
Then she started.
You don't mention his name.
Well, we didn't get to that part yet.
But you don't.
You don't. She apologized. Had her music play, and then she started dancing. And Alexa was tired of the game. And Alexa's talking to her friend sitting on the swing. And everything's right. And she sat back down. Asuka assured Alexa that everything's going to be okay because the Fiend is here. Do not say his name. And she told Asuka to leave, and she sat on the horse.
After it started rocking on its own. I'm just going to say this, because I feel like there's a really, really tiny missed opportunity here. One, this was all fantastic. We'll break it down here in a second. But two, before I forget, to me, there's a huge missed opportunity to have Alexa walk around, especially if she's going to start talking to herself or talk to her invisible fiend friend or Bray's ghost or have whatever you want to call it, to walk around with like when they made like a little fiend elf on the shelf thing for Christmas for her to like carry around something like that. And that is her memory of the fiend.
Oh, the best way to put it, they could have made her like a Cabbage Patch doll.
Yeah, like a Cabbage Patch doll or a little fiend doll or something like, that is
in that
representative.
Style, in that style of the fiend, a Cabbage Patch doll, like in that style. That's what I meant. Yeah.
Yeah, that she can carry around and it's there and it's representative of Bray. So instead of her just talking to nothing, she could be talking to the doll. Not that there's anything wrong with her talking to nothing, like her having the invisible fiend and her talking to him and everything like that. Was a nice little added touch. I loved how nervous Asuka was. I loved how she was trying everything she possibly could not to, like piss off Alexa, you know, just all the different things. All the little touches in this, especially at the end where, Asuka bails because Alexa tells her to, and, the horse starts rocking. And so Alexa's like, oh, it's my Bray. And she like skips over to it and she rides the horse.
Yep. Also, she mentioned Drew McIntyre was on the show and he cut a promo and he'll be back next week. There really wasn't much to it. Just wanted to throw that in there.
But his 10 to 14 days with COVID are coming to an end and hopefully by next week he's okay and everything's fine. So with any luck, next week we will have the go home for Goldberg and Drew McIntyre.
But our main event is Asuka and Alexa Bliss non-title match. Alexa comes out in the gear she was wearing earlier in the night.
Which is super cute, by the way.
Very super cute. And then the lights go down, and you hear a weird noise, and we go to break, and we come back, and then she's got a little darker. Her shirt's black, and her lipstick is now black. And instead of competitive wrestling, it's Alexa quick blocking everything Asuka throws at her.
And making a study of Asuka.
Asuka would get a few shots in, but Alexa had a counter for everything. Alexa went for even the mandible claw. Asuka was able to block it. Asuka would throw some, like, hard shots at Alexa points. But in the end, Alexa knocked Asuka down, grabbed her did the back bend, grabbed her, hit the Sister Abigail. 1, 2, 3. We got the screech, and we went back to happy-go-lucky playground bliss.
Okay.
Hold on.
No, before you get to it, I want to talk about everything before.
But, okay.
Because it sets kind of up the end. So, one thing that should be noted when she goes to, like, the dark, calm version, I guess, of Alexa Bliss. Because she wasn't quite full-on pissed off, angry Alexa, but she was the dark version of Alexa. The fiend version. When she does the backbend in the corner, she reaches up and she smears her lipstick. And she starts, and she gives this really, like, sort of, like, sensual smile, I guess, at the camera. Or at Asuka. And then when she went for the Sister Abigail, she did the same thing, but she smeared the other side. Like, she enjoyed it, or, like, she felt Bray's presence. I don't know. Like I said, tantric ghost sex is, I think, what happened at some point in this. But there was some really beautiful, fabulous storytelling going on in this portion of the match with Alexa and Asuka. And I wouldn't mind seeing a little bit more of it. Like, in terms of a storytelling match, this is the kind of stuff that I like. Partially because I'm invested in it.
Yeah.
And it's just growing her character more, where we're seeing Alexa descend further into this madness that Bray has instilled in her.
People out there always sit here and complain, why won't they do any more character development? Why won't they do this? Why won't they do that? And then now you're getting it. They're doing things with other people, and they're developing Alexa with a split personality thanks to the Fiend. She is growing as a performer right in front of our eyes. It's awesome to watch.
It's wonderful to see. It's beautiful to see. She's turning in some really fantastic work, just like Randy Orton's been turning in some really fantastic work in reference to the storyline. Because I think they're both extremely inspired by this. I think they're both enjoying it because it's so out of the box, like, for both of them.
Yeah.
To be able to do that, I can completely see why they would both be, like, on board to do this. And then whenever Bray does come back, it's just going to hit high gear. Like, it's just going to be insanity. But yeah, this leads to the end of the match where we have our cut and Alexa is back to being happy-go-lucky Alexa, but she's not alone.
She's not alone. She smiles, looks in the camera, goes, mouths, let me in. But in the over you hear, let me in. He's alive.
He's making his way back. He's regenerating into something new. We don't know what it is, but I would fully expect that we see Bray in the next 2 weeks. Probably at Rumble, where at some point Randy Orton's going to get left alone. And when Randy Orton gets left alone, that's when the Fiend's going to appear and come for his soul. Or they're going to do it on the Monday after the Rumble. But I would fully expect to see Bray Wyatt back in the next 2 weeks for sure.
Yeah.
Because I think they're going to set up the whatever match between them for Chamber.
If not the Rumble.
No, because Randy's in the Rumble.
Or he, at the end of the day. Maybe he's not.
Maybe he's not. We'll have to see, and somebody else goes in. But yeah, this is going to get interesting really, really quickly. I want to see where they go with this, because I know they have my attention, and I know they have a lot of other people's attention with this, just for the storytelling and how they're doing it and how they're presenting it, because they're really taking advantage of, again, the fact that they do not have an audience. So they can do these kinds of cuts. They can do these kinds of promos. Like, you can have Alexa go back and forth between the two characters, which is something that you can't necessarily do with a live audience as successfully. Because essentially what they did was took the lights down, cut to commercial. She slapped her hair up, put the lipstick on, and probably changed her shirt.
Yep.
She probably didn't. So, you know, it's, you can't necessarily have her do that quick change in front of a live audience.
Yeah,
and have
you can't. Yeah, you can't.
So, you know, and then they come back and she's all different. And then you cut back and probably to the end of the show, because it was a very quick cut, that the end was pre-taped. Some part of that was pre-taped.
I think the middle part was pre-taped.
Probably, yeah. So, I think this is all great stuff. I think it's amazing, and I look forward to seeing where they go with it next.
We'll find
out. With that,
we'll find out next week.
We will. We're done, though. For now.
For now. We'll be live Thursday for the rack.
We will tune in. We will have news, notes, NXT, all your favorites, plus a discussion. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Saturday night, midnight edition, CBRA or CBRLive.com, GreatTheGreatDebate.com. Wrestle Talk Radio will preview the Royal Rumble this Sunday. 10 p.m. Eastern, we'll be back next Monday for the Raw Push, 11 p.m. Eastern. If you'd like to be a part of our Royal Rumble entry contest, tweet us at WildTalkRadio. Facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio Network or Facebook.com/WildTalkRadio Network is the place to go to do all that fun, happy stuff. If you have Amazon Prime, you can link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming, and you can subscribe for free by hitting that purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use creator code ROCKETSTOCK at the Fortnite Amazon Shop, hashtag epic partner, hashtag ad. Go.
You can follow me on most of the social medias at LinsWard, LNSWRD.
Also, check us out for Fortnite content on Thursdays and Saturdays. Anyway, we'll see you live Thursday night for The Rack and right back here for the Raw Post Show presented by MBG Films. YouTube.com/MBG1211 Yeah, we're done. We'll see you next week live across the airwaves, the Wild Talk Radio Network. Streaming live at WildTalkRadio.com and right here at twitch.tv/WTR Live. Good night, everybody.
Bye.